Good morning, everyone. Welcome to day 23 of Lent. Today is the end of the first half of Lent. After today, it's all downhill to Easter. So, let us get into our meditations. Before we do that, though, I just want to let everyone know that we did an interview with Mel Gibson last night. And yes, it really happened. And yes, it is the real Mel Gibson. We talked to him about faith in film and in movies, specifically about faith shown in his movie that he directed, Hacksaw Ridge. So that show with Mel is going to air tonight, March 7th, 2024, at 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. So make sure you guys check that out. But with that little plug out of the way, let's get into our meditation. Our meditation is once again from Meditations for Lent by Bishop Jacques Bossuet. The book is from Sophia Institute Press, and it can be gotten there for pretty inexpensive. Like I've done on all of our other meditations, I'm going to throw up an image on screen. There's nothing to watch. You just listen, you just meditate, and we will get going here. Day 23, Thursday of the third week of Lent. Priest, Prophet, and King. Although what we owe to Jesus is included in the commandment to love God, it is nevertheless worth considering what we owe to Him as the Christ. That is, as the mediator and bond of God's love for us and ours for Him. To do this, we should look to Christ's own explanation of the famous prophecy of his reign spoken by David, his forefather. How lovely is it that Christ should have been seen by his fathers, by Abraham, who saw his day and rejoiced in it, John 8:56, and by David, who was stunned by his grandeur and called my Lord, Psalm 110:1. One who would be his own son. As God gave to Abraham the promise of the multiplication of the faithful, so he gave to David that of his eternal kingdom, of a throne that would outlast the sun and the moon. Psalm 89:35. Thus it was fitting that David, to whom as a figure of Jesus Christ the promise was made, would be the first to recognize the Christ by calling him his Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, Psalm 110:1. It is as if he had said, it appears that God has promised a never-ending empire to me, but in truth it is to you, my son, and also my Lord, to whom it shall be given. And I come in spirit, the first of all your subjects, to pay you homage upon your throne, at the right hand of your Father, as to my sovereign Lord. If David thus calls him Lord, how is he his son? Matthew 22:45. By this question, Jesus wished to lift their sights to the higher birth of the Christ, who is not merely the son of David, but the only begotten Son of God. All they had to do in order to learn of this eternal birth was to continue the psalm. For God himself says in what follows, in the brightness of the saints, from the womb before the dawn, I begot thee. Psalm 109:3. Before the dawn, before that light that sets and rises every day had begun to appear, there was an eternal light that made the happiness of the saints. It is in this eternal light that I have begotten you. I adore you, O Jesus, my Lord, in this immense and eternal light. I adore you as the light that enlightens every man. John 1:9. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. What a joy it is to see Jesus Christ himself explaining the prophecies that touch upon him and thus teaching us how we should understand all the others. All that we owe to Jesus is shown to us in this psalm. We see him first as God, and we say, this is our God, and there is no other. For if he has been begotten, he is the Son. If he is the Son, he is of the same nature as the Father. If he is the same nature as his father, he is God. If one God alone with his father, for nothing is more essential to God than his unity. He is king. Where is his throne? At the right hand of God. Could it be placed any higher? Everything depends upon this throne. All that depends upon God and the kingdom of heaven is submitted to him. Here is his reign. This empire is a sacred one, a priesthood, and a priesthood established by an oath. God willed by a more particular declaration of his will to mark this priesthood as unique. The Lord has sworn it will not change his mind. The priesthood of Jesus Christ is eternal. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110:4. You have neither beginning nor end. This is not a priesthood that came from your ancestors, nor one that will pass to your descendants. Your priesthood will not pass to other hands. There will be priests who will sacrifice under you, but they will be your vicars and not your successors. You celebrate an eternal office for us at the right hand of your Father. You continually hold up the marks of the wounds that appeased him and save us. You offer him our prayers. You intercede for our faults. You bless and consecrate us. From the heights of heaven, you baptize your children. You change earthly gifts into your body and blood. You take away our sins. You send your Holy Spirit, consecrate your ministers, and accomplish all that they perform in your name. When we are born, you wash us with heavenly water. When we die, you support us with the comfort of your anointing, and our sufferings become our remedies, our death a passage to true life. O God, O King, O High Priest, I unite myself to you in all these qualities and submit myself to your divinity, your rule, and your priesthood, which I honor in humility and faith in the person of those by whom you are pleased to exercise it on earth. Okay, there is our meditation for today. So, like I said, we are halfway through Lent at this point. So, as I've mentioned in the last few days, whatever you're doing for Lent, you know, now's a good time to double down. Either get back to what you had originally planned or try to go deeper. No time better than now, that's for sure. So, thank you all for watching and for joining me in these meditations. I hope you find them fruitful. And I will see you again tomorrow morning. Thank you.